Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Morbid early and ad-free. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Hey guys, I have to tell you about this all-in-one shake that I'm freaking loving. It's called Cachava. I love saying it. It's actually hands down the best thing that I've found to help me get all my essential nutrients into one day. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics. In other words, literally everything that your body craves to feel your best. And I know what you're thinking. Something that good for me cannot possibly taste good. Wrong. That's where Cachava really earns their over 52,000 five-star reviews. It actually tastes freaking amazing. It's very creamy and smooth, and it comes together with just water. And it comes in five delicious flavors. Personally, vanilla and chai are my personal favorites, but it also comes in chocolate, matcha, and coconut acai, which I still need to try. Some people like to drink it as part of a healthy breakfast or lunch, and other people love it as a protein-packed snack before or after a workout. It's really perfect for that because it has 25 grams of plant protein per serving. Personally, I like to add mine to my overnight oats. I add a scoop and I mix it all up to get a little more protein into my oats. And literally, I can have that for breakfast and feel satiated, nourished, beautiful, functioning, all throughout my day. It's incredible. Please send me more of it because I love it so much. It makes me feel very, very good. And guess what, guys? Cachava is offering our listeners 10% off for a limited time. Just go to cachava.com/morbid, spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/morbid.
Guys, it's hard to start working out, and it's even harder to maintain working out, especially if you don't like your fitness routine, which a lot of times it can be dull, just for me personally, that's all I'm saying. But Peloton really keeps me motivated, mainly because I love the instructors and I feel like I'm losing my friends when I'm not on that bike. But also, Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist theme rides, they've got something for you. And like I said, the Peloton bike instructors not only are wonderful and feel like your friends, but they help keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, you know, take the guesswork out of your workout and encourage you to build. So you're like, I want to make you proud of me. And Peloton Entertainment keeps you moving. Watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you just don't want to miss a thing. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Hey, weirdos. I'm Elena.
I'm Ash.
And this is Morbid.
And it's Ash-centric.
And I was going to say, she's back, guys.
She's back.
Do you have a brand new rap?
I don't.
She's back with a brand new rap.
But yeah, I missed everybody for an episode. It was strange and unusual, which is also a great podcast, so go listen to it. But but honestly, it was weird. But thank goodness Ash like stepped in. Andrew, for that matter.
Andrew.
Because I was not expecting to be at the hospital as long as I was, but... You know, I think everybody can see that things are going kind of crazy with the Cove Cove.
Things have gone awry.
Yeah, things have gotten out of control with the Cove Cove, but I think we're going to get it back under control. So
I think so.
It was a long day.
A lot of cutting involved.
Lots of cutting, lots of PPE, lots of reusing PPE.
Yeah, dude, Elena sent me her face after one autopsy and I was like, wow.
Yeah, the N95s like cut into your face after a while.
Yeah, talk about fine lines, baby.
Yeah, I know. Every time I take it off, I'm like, there's another wrinkle.
Get your Curology.
I know. I'm like, I need a facial. When can we get those again?
I just bought myself a facial steamer.
Ooh.
$25 on Amazon.
I'm going to need something like that because PPE is killing my face.
Yeah. Drew's brother, shout out to my like not brother-in-law yet, but like someday, got me an Ulta gift card and I like went a little wild on the skincare.
Best gift.
I love a gift card.
Oh, yeah. Like a very specific gift card is
yes.
Like, oh, you
sometimes
know
me. People think that like gift cards are like not very personal. Like I feel like Ma will always be like, I'm not going to give you a gift card.
She's like, that's so impersonal. Horrible.
And I'm like, no, I want a gift card.
I love a gift card.
Give me any gift card and I will take it. Give me a Bass Pro Shops. And no, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't
take
that.
Don't give me one of those.
No, I wouldn't know what to do.
I would have no idea what to do with that.
But I know what I'm doing at Ulta. So.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
I think other than, you know, me just telling you guys that I miss you and thank you for, and it was weird. It was very weird.
It's weird podcasting without you because every podcast that I do, like Scream, Crime Countdown, and this is, as you know, with you.
Exactly.
So it's weird.
It's strange. And then like not editing it. Like Ash did a great job, guys, editing that episode.
Thank you. It probably sounded a little different than what you're used to. But you know what? She tried. She tried her best.
You did it.
I'm not a sound engineer.
You did it and you did it well. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Mom.
But I think the only other thing I just wanted to mention was we've had a couple of people that have like emailed us about like Facebook groups. On like morbid Facebook groups. I just want to reiterate, we are not affiliated with any Facebook group. There is no official Facebook group.
Yeah, the only one is the Patreon.
Right. That's it. And other than that, they are all listener formed groups. They are listener run groups. We have not vetted or hired any of the admins for those groups. We're not even in those groups.
No.
We cannot control what goes on in those groups. Unfortunately, we have nothing to do with that. I hate Facebook with like the fire of a thousand suns. Like
I want to delete mine. So
I was
going
to say I'm planning to delete my own. So I literally never go on Facebook.
The only time I go on is to approve posts in the Patreon one.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so and this isn't like, you know,
but we just want you to know that we don't want you to think somebody is being rude to you that like we set to be
exactly.
rude to you.
Like, I don't want to be like I would never send somebody to be rude to any of you, so I just never want you to think that. And it like whenever we get an email that I feel really bad,
I'm so sorry,
I can't help you. Like I don't know, but I just wanted to let you guys know because we would never, you know, send anyone to be rude to you or like be affiliated with people that are rude to you. So
no.
Never think that, because we really don't have anything to do with those groups. And I just wanted to make that clear.
Crystal
just in case, you know.
Clear.
Yeah, because I think we've said it on like social media before, but not everybody has social media. So I just wanted to get it out there.
Yeah, it's like this is like the best way to announce all things.
Yeah.
And with that being said, I actually have a fun thing to announce.
Exactly.
And so we also, a fun announcement time, have a show that we're going to be doing. We're going to do kind of like our Halloween shows, but this time it's just going to be one and it's not like a whole world tour, just like one cool show.
Just one show.
And we're going to be doing a like Valentine's Day themed show and it's called the Bleeding Hearts Ball.
I'm so excited about that. You're all invited. You're all invited to a ball.
A ball. We're going to be the bells of the ball.
A virtual ball.
So today, actually, like in 5 minutes, I'm going to post on the Patreon the pre-sale link, so we'll let patrons have it first until Monday, and then Monday it will go on sale for everybody. If you head to our Instagram at Morbid Podcast, I'll put the link in our bio, and if you're more of a Twitter person, follow us at A Morbid Podcast, and I'll put it on Twitter.
Yay!
Lit!
I'm so excited for the Bleeding Hearts Ball.
The Bleeding Hearts Ball!
we're trying to work with what we can for with COVID times.
Yeah, you know? I have a cool costume idea, because you know a bitch loves a costume.
Oh yeah, I feel like these virtual shows have become like our time to have costumes.
It's just become like Halloween 2.0, 3.0, and now I think 4.0.
When you can't actually go out on the road or do actual live shows, you gotta throw a costume on.
When you live in sweatpants literally every single day for the past year, you have to put something on. So yeah.
I think that's all the announcements we had, though.
I think that's all it is. So yeah. I'm gonna do a pretty big true crime case today.
I'm excited.
What if I talked like that the entire time?
That would be upsetting.
That would lose us a lot of subscribers.
Yeah, a lot of people would be like, don't know what happened, but I'm gone.
Ash broke,
finally.
No, so I'm gonna talk regular. And I'm gonna do the Cinnamon Brown case today.
Ooh.
Which I feel like a lot of people in true crime know about, so
yep.
I hope you're excited. So I'm going to start
hope
this.
Super psyched.
Hope you're stoked for this real bummer of a case.
Yes.
But like it's happy at the end, I feel.
I'm glad.
Yeah. I'm going to start us off with a quote.
Like please do.
Any high school grad would.
Please do.
She says, I was too young to get in trouble. They would send me to a psychiatrist and send me home.
Ooh.
And that's what Cinnamon Brown thought was going to happen after she killed her stepmom, Linda Brown. But that's not what happened.
It's not what happened.
No. So Cinnamon had been living with her dad, David, her stepmom, Linda, her stepmom's sister, Patty, and her younger half-sister, Crystal. So like,
wowzer,
full house over there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, she moved in with her dad. It seemed like she had somewhat of a troubled relationship with her mom. Like, she would be in and out of her mom's house and like go to her dad sometimes and then go back to her mom's. But I couldn't find a lot of information about the relationship with her mom. It just seemed like she was craving some kind of stability.
Oh, for sure.
And that's how she ended up at her dad's house.
Makes sense.
Little did she know she was not going to get that at dad's house. Ugh. So her dad, David Brown, he was a pretty well-off dude. He worked as like a computer entrepreneur and he owned his own data recovery company.
Oh, wow.
Which I guess like the Pentagon used.
It makes sense because, I mean, data recovery is such a like intricate
and
niche thing.
Yeah.
Like it must be so hard to, you know, work in that field.
And obviously he must have been like pretty smart if he made that on his own.
Oh, yeah.
Not a good guy, but pretty smart.
Unfortunately.
So Linda was his fifth wife.
Okay.
Which is bananas.
It's a lot of marriages.
A lot of marriages. And he was pretty young to have that many marriages under his belt. But, you know, like, live your life.
Get married a lot. There you go.
Yeah, like, and then move on. But he had known Linda most of her life. So, because the Bailey family, which was Linda's maiden name, Linda Bailey is what she was before she got married. That's what maiden name means.
That's what that means. Thank you.
She lived down the street from David and they, like, in California. And the Baileys were, like, very far from well off. They grew up basically, like, in and out of trailer park homes and they like their mom Ethel, she was a single mom and Ethel. She was I know Ethel she had like problems with alcohol unfortunately, but probably because she was trying to raise 11 children on her own. 11
children, not, you know, well off. Yeah. Not even comfortable, really. No.
Like not even comfortable at all.
Yeah.
But yikes.
That's so tough.
David had told Ethel that he was actually going through colon cancer and like really suffering, which I don't really know if that was the truth. It kind of sounds like it wasn't.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that.
Nothing ever comes of that. It's just like he said he had colon cancer and then he did it. Yeah.
All right.
And it seems like he offered some kind of compensation to the Bailey family that obviously they'd be happy to have. And he was like, if some of your girls could come over and help me clean up around the house, like maybe we can make some kind of deal.
Okay.
But I don't really think he wanted them there to like clean his house per se.
Uh-oh.
I think he liked to look at younger girls.
That's really bad.
Yeah, it's not.
It's really bad.
It's actually a crime.
It is. That's illegal.
Not just to look at them. Like, so, that's not illegal. It's just creepy. But, like, don't move past that.
Yeah, don't do that.
So, Linda's older sister, Pam, at one point actually dated David. But David's eye had always been on Linda, even while he was dating Pam, her older sister.
And was she, like, young?
Both of the girls were teenagers and way too young for him. He was in his early 20s at this time.
Oh, boy.
And Linda herself was only 13 years old when they started dating.
Yeah.
So, she was 13 dating, like, a 23-year-old.
Oh no.
Yeah, rough signs. But she was like super head over heels for him. Obviously, you're 13 years old and this older guy's interested in you. You think this is the tits.
Of course.
And it's this well-off guy. You're chilling in your house with 11 other brothers and sisters trying to get attention and like have your needs met.
Yeah.
And you're not having your needs met.
And this guy's like, I can take you out of all of this.
Exactly. So it's kind of like Prince Charming.
Yeah.
When she turned 17, she asked Ethel to sign off on her marriage to David. Oh. And Ethel was like, absolutely. Like, by all accounts, she was happy and excited for them. And I think she was probably relieved that at least one of her kids was going to get, like, a charmed life. Get out of there.
Yeah.
Like, had a chance at it. So Linda and David got married in Vegas in 1979.
Fancy.
Fancy.
Glitzy.
Glitzy and glamoury. Wow, that was a really good Moira Rose impression.
That really was.
Thank you.
You even had, like, the
I know.
Voice.
Just
perfect.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Hara. So life changed really quickly for Linda, obviously, and the next 6 years were going to be an absolute whirlwind for her.
Good.
So after she married David, they lived in a couple homes, like they kind of moved around a little bit, and they finally settled into this home at 12551 Ocean Breeze in Garden Grove in the Garden Grove area of Orange County.
Okay.
So like seems like a pretty nice area at the time. I don't know about now.
Don't know, not there.
Like Orange County housewives, I guess.
How
you know?
Is it, guys?
How you doing?
Where are my OC weirdos at?
Oh, the OC. No, at some point, though, they divorced for whatever reason, and then they got remarried.
All right.
So things weren't going well, and then they were.
And then they were like, love you, come back.
Love, love, love. And then Patty, Linda's younger sister, ended up moving in with them when she was like, she was 11 turning 12 when she moved in, because she was having a lot of family trouble at back at home with Ethel and everybody, and a family member had actually been molesting her.
Oh, God.
I read in one source that it was the brother. But it was only in one source.
That's really, really upsetting.
Yeah, but and she needed to get, obviously, away to a safe space.
Yeah.
So she remembered that David and Linda welcomed her with open arms. She thought she was living the good life. It's like I read a bunch of articles that said when she walked into her room, it was fully furnished, like beautifully and decorated and just like it was
everything she didn't have.
Everything she didn't have, exactly. Yeah. But soon, David kind of started showing interest in her. And started to, I fucking hate this word, but there's no other really good way to say it. He would fondle her.
Oh, God, I hate that word.
But, like, what else do you say?
Oh, that's so horrific, though.
Yeah, because, like, touch is also yucky no, in that whole, sense.
I mean, just the entire vibe of that is just not good.
Yeah, and remember, she is, like, turning 12.
Oh, she's a baby.
And he's probably, at this point, like, 24, 25.
What the fuck? And what the fuck is wrong with these kind of people?
This gets worse. God. He told her that, like, him doing this would make her develop into a, quote, proper lady much sooner, and that someday he was going to marry her.
What the fuck?
So he was like, me doing this is, like, helping you develop, and then someday I'm going to get married to you. And
so
like,
he's just, like, grooming her.
100%.
Literally grooming her.
Literal grooming.
Yeah.
So Patty later told the LA Times that when she did start developing shortly after he said this to her, she was like, oh my God, he's like some kind of God. Like, I owe him everything.
Yeah, and she was a child.
Right. And she starts to fall for him. He's given her everything so far.
Of course.
You know, anybody would fall for it.
Yeah, like a very impressionable young mind. Of course.
Right. Now, he would come into her room when Linda was out of the house or when she couldn't hear them, like if she was in another part, like showering or something. And they started having like a full on physical relationship, which you can't really call it a physical relationship. Like she's obviously she was saying like sure at the time, but she's not.
But she's not of the age to say sure. So
no, she's not of consenting
her.
Age. So she was being raped.
Yeah.
Now, by this point, him and Linda already had a baby together, Crystal. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So he's a dad at this point, oh, and no. Already Cinnamon.
A dad of a baby girl.
A dad of a baby girl, and he has Cinnamon at this point. Like, he has had her for a while.
Oh, boy.
It's like, dude, what's wrong? So pretty soon after Patty moved in, Cinnamon asked her dad if she could move in. So David later told the investigators that Cinnamon was a really troubled girl, and the reason that she lived with him in the first place was that she couldn't get along with her mom, and shortly after moving in with him and his new family, she was struggling to get along with Linda.
Okay.
So he kind of paints this picture of Cinnamon as, like, she's this really, like, disagreeable girl. He said she didn't want to help out with any household chores. She would talk back to Linda constantly, or just completely ignore Linda. Like, he made it seem like she was just, like, the ultimate
brat. A troubled kid, yeah. Mm-hmm. How old was she?
She was 14.
Okay.
She was 14 when this happened.
Okay.
And it was 1985.
Okay.
When Cinnamon first moved in, she shared a room with Patty. But a few months before Linda was killed, Linda had actually, quote, kicked Cinnamon out. But she didn't really, like, kick her out and, like, say, like, you can't live here. There was a trailer that they had parked outside of the house. And she was like, Cinnamon, like, that's where you're living. Because obviously you can't get along with anybody in the house.
Go live in that trailer outside.
You know, that's just what we're going to do about this. So David went on to tell the investigators that, like, Cinnamon would come inside when it was time for meals and everything. And sometimes to watch TV. But she wouldn't speak to anybody during that time. And, like, everybody just kind of, like, let that happen.
The strangest thing I've ever heard.
Probably because it's not true.
Like, what the fuck? That wouldn't make any sense.
I mean, it does sound like she was living in the trailer. Like, yeah. All her stuff was in there.
Jesus.
Which is, I feel like it wasn't by choice.
No, I feel that way,
And
too.
I also wonder if Linda actually did do that. Or if, like, when she moved in, that was just how it was from the start.
That was the arrangement.
I don't know. Now, Patty told the investigators later on that Cinnamon had told her that she was suicidal and planned to kill herself with a gun. But Patty was like, you know, I tell her I love her all the time. I really try to cheer her up. And it seemed to be working for a while. But, you know, maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe it's not working. Maybe it didn't work. Everything exploded.
Yeah.
So in Anne Rule's book, which you should totally read this book if you want like a full on like deep dive into this case, it's really good.
We love Anne Rule.
I know, it's so good. It's called If You Really Loved Me, and it opens up telling the story of the night that Linda was shot, and it describes what Patty and David told the initial investigators, which was a whole bunch of bullshit.
Oh.
So David told them his parents had come over for a visit that day. He described playing Uno as a family, which really upset me because Elena, John, Drew, and I just had like a full-on Uno competition the other night.
Yes, and I love Uno.
With Uno Attack.
Uno Attack is
Uno Attack. So like, so at least good. It's a little different.
It is.
But they played Uno as a family. He said they were going to go into the desert for a picnic, but it was raining, so they decided against it. And then at some point, like in the early afternoon, or excuse me, late afternoon, he had taken himself, Cinnamon, and Patty to a chiropractor appointment because they had gotten in like a pretty bad car accident before, which oh. I can tell you like a little bit about later. But he stopped on the way home to get food for everyone. He pointed out that he had to go to two different places so that he could make sure everyone was happy with what they got.
Of course.
Such a good guy. And he said that Cinnamon was really irritable on the way home and that she was treating Patty very badly.
Huh.
Like, treating her so horribly. You know, Cinnamon was just awful all the time.
Cinnamon's just the worst.
She sucks. So they get home, they ate dinner. I guess Linda and David's mother got into, like, somewhat of an argument over caring for Crystal. And he was like, you know, like, they disagreed on if the baby should cry it out or if she should, like, get her on a routine and, yeah. like, not let her cry it out. Like, his mom thought the baby shouldn't, and Linda was like, I just need to get her on a fucking routine. Yeah. Like, let me raise my kid.
Let me do it.
Blah, blah, blah. So they were arguing over that, and then that was stupid. And then they went to bed after arguing, because so after the parents left, so his parents leave, and then him and Linda continue this argument because he's on his mom's side of like, don't let her cry it out, it's awful, like, and he's saying to the investigators like, I'm such a sensitive man, and
of course
I could never listen to my baby crying.
Of course not.
And it's like, dude, you're not a father. Like,
no, you're,
we'll see shortly,
you're disgusting.
And it's like, I love that you're trying to make Linda seem like this horrible person.
Yeah, for like a neglectful mother.
It's like, she's not. She's just trying to get the baby on a like, sleep really. Schedule. But okay.
But so cool.
He said they went to bed after arguing, but that he woke up around midnight because, you know, he's just so sensitive. And
I can tell.
He's very upset about the fight. He can't sleep.
Of course not.
So he decides to go for a drive.
Yeah.
At midnight.
Okay.
As one does.
Yeah.
Like, not just like go sit downstairs and watch the Kardashians. I don't know. Like,
which is what he would have done in 1989.
Obviously.
Yeah, they've been around that long.
1985? Like, yeah, Kim was alive.
Yeah.
It's fine. So, you know, he goes for a midnight drive.
Yeah.
And he said that he stopped at a convenience store for a Dr. Pepper and an apple pie, which seems like a really gross midnight snack.
What a midnight snack.
Like, one of those things, cool. Dr. Pepper with your apple pie?
Yeah, that's a strange choice.
That's disgusting.
It's a weird choice,
He
man.
Also definitely was not a healthy man.
You don't say.
No, clearly.
You don't say.
The investigators, when they got there, he was something like 33 at this point, because he was like 10 years older than Linda. And they were like, when they walked in, they thought he was like 55 years
old. Oh, yeah.
Old.
I just looked up a picture of him and I was like, oh,
yeah.
He's literally younger than me.
Yeah.
That's really crazy.
Wait, he is?
I'm 35.
Wow. Oh. I thought you meant like now, and I was like,
no, not now. Wait. I mean,
I was like, then everything I know is a lie.
No, you were like, wait, what?
I was like, hold on. It doesn't make sense. I got you.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it.
You look like 25, so you're good.
I appreciate that.
I got you. So, you know, Dr. Pepper, apple pie. Cool.
Dr. Pepper, apple pie.
He goes in, he gets that beautiful meal, and then he goes back in to the same store to get some comic books.
I mean, another midnight activity.
Yeah, and you know, like any other 33-year-old father would do.
Yeah, if you're gonna get your Dr. Pepper and your apple pie, you gotta, you know, you're washing it down with a nice comic book.
With a side of Batman and Robin.
Of course.
Like, all these things go together.
It's all of these things together that are weird. Like, if you just, I mean, going out at midnight to go get a comic book is, like, strange to me. I'm like, really? Why?
Yeah, it's real weird.
But, like, whatever.
Also,
all together, it's like, what are you doing?
Let's make a point of, like, we know what he's doing. Because he goes in to get the apple pie and the Dr. Pepper. Then he goes back to his car. Then he goes back in, chats with the cashier. What he was like, the cashier thought it was so funny that I was buying comic books. And it's like, oh, the cashier saw you, huh?
Oh, yeah, and actually talked to you and would remember you because you did something weird.
That's so crazy.
So funny.
OMG. He then drives to the beach to go sit and think.
Just sit and think.
You know, after midnight, how you just drive. I mean, I might do that, to be honest.
Yeah, like after getting a comic book and a Dr. Pepper and a apple pie.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do the first series of events, but like, I might going go to the to beach. Think. I might sit at the beach at midnight. That might be fun.
I would not.
Yeah, because like fresh air is for dead people.
100% inviting to get murdered, but
that is actually that's a really good way to that's RSVPing for murder.
Yeah, don't do that.
So well, he was RSVPing for murder, and then he said when he got home, a frantic Patty met him at the door, sobbing, holding Crystal, who was also sobbing. And Patty was like, "Linda's shot. Like I didn't go up there, but I think she might be dead."
Boy, oh boy,
you didn't go up there, but she might be okay. You didn't check on your sister who you believe may have been shot. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. Like, if, so, like, let's get real with it right now. If I thought that somebody shot you, I would be like in your room, like tying a bandana around the area.
Right? Like you're not just going to be like, yeah, I think she might be dead up there.
I wouldn't
be
like,
go up though.
Holding the baby downstairs, like waiting for John to get home.
Yeah. No.
I'd be like, well, what if he doesn't get home? Like,
yeah.
What? So, yeah, and strange. She said she thinks it was Cinnamon. Like, Cinnamon's nowhere to be found. And she saw somebody that looked like Cinnamon in her room when she heard the first gunshot.
I saw someone that looked like Cinnamon. I saw someone that looked like a teenage girl in the room. I'm not real sure.
I saw someone that looks like this girl that I've been living with for, like, a really long time run out of the house.
Could have been someone else. I don't know.
Maybe it was someone else, or maybe it was Cinnamon who lives here.
Could have been another blonde girl.
I don't know.
Just ran in the house and shot someone real quick and then left.
I don't know. Who am I to say?
Who knows?
Who am I to say?
Who's to say?
It was almost the perfect crime. Stacks of cold, hard cash sitting on the table, unguarded. Who wouldn't be tempted to slowly reach their hand out and steal? A pile of Monopoly money from the banker. Monopoly is one of those games that can bring out our most devious selves, and Monopoly Go takes that gleeful mischievousness to your phone in a wildly popular twist on the classic that you can play anywhere, anytime. Collect rent from friends on iconic properties, bankrupt them by pulling a heist on their vault, even use a wrecking ball to shut down their monuments. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with friends to unlock big prizes and try to top the leaderboards. Whether you're helping out your friends or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is an absolute blast. Go download it now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Patty told the investigators that after Linda and David went to bed that night, she and Cinnamon stayed up watching MTV, which in 1985, I can only imagine how great that was.
Oh, it's at its peak.
Probably like music videos.
Oh, peak music videos.
I love that.
Yeah.
Now, Patty got tired around midnight, and she was like, I headed to bed. I went to bed, and Cinnamon was out there by herself.
I went to my fucking bed.
I went to sleep.
I slept so hard.
Like a rock until that gunshot.
So psyched to sleep.
But she was like, Cinnamon stayed up. And before I went to bed, Cinnamon was like, hey, can you show me something? And Patty was like, but of course, one who I love so much, sister girl.
What can I show thee?
I shall show you all the things. And Cinnamon, like, had a small gray gun in her hand and asked Patty how to work it. And Patty was like, why do you need, what? Like, I'm confused. I'm so confused. What?
What?
Like, if that happened, I'd be like, I don't know.
Like, if you were like, can you, if it was literally the middle of the night and you were like, can you show me how to use this gun? I'd be like, no. I can't. And no. I'm going to call the police. Because what the fuck?
Leave. Go to your trailer, Cinnamon.
I'd be like, give me that fucking little gray gun.
I'll take that.
Off to your trailer, and I'm calling the police.
I'm confiscating that.
Yeah.
So she was like, why? And Cinnamon said that it was just in case. And it seemed like she was talking about, like, like a home invasion or, like, a possible intruder. I guess people scheduled that with Cinnamon the night they were going to intrude.
Just in case.
And Patty said she didn't think much of it. She thought maybe, like, she reassured Cinnamon that they had an alarm system and it's all good. But she was like, you know, then I just went to bed. I showed her how to use it, and I went to bed.
Yeah, as one does.
Yeah, at midnight after you're watching MTV. When Michael Jackson's Thriller gets done, you show your sister friend
how to work a gun,
and then you go to sleep.
Yeah, and you don't think much of it.
No.
Nothing to see here. nothing of note of the night. I love how she's like, you know, the night went pretty normal, pretty as planned. We watched some MTV. Yeah. I showed her how to work a pistol and then I went to sleep. Yeah. There's really nothing of note.
No, it was fine.
No, I don't. There's really nothing that's changed. What could be weird about
typical
this?
Monday night for us, man.
Yeah, I don't see anything strange.
Meanwhile, the investigators are like, what the fuck is this family?
What now?
Like, KK. Unfortunately, though, Cinnamon clearly was not talking about intruders, and Patty woke up in the middle of the night to gunshots. So she heard the first gunshot, and it startled her awake, and she heard it in her room and saw Cinnamon standing there, she said. And then she heard two more gunshots and didn't see Cinnamon in the room. And then she started to hear Crystal crying. So she said she ran to Crystal's nursery, got Crystal, and stayed in the nursery, like, holding her, like, with her back up against the door, which yeah. I probably wouldn't do if somebody had a gun in my house. Like, definitely not putting my back up against the door.
No, definitely not. But I can see why, like, in...
No, I can totally see
that. Chaos situation.
She's, like, trying to,
your
like,
first thing is to try to block the door and block the baby.
Absolutely. So she did that, and then she said she stayed there until she heard a knock on the front door and then keys turning in the lock. Now, I would like to know, if you have the keys to the door... Why are you knocking on it first?
Yeah.
What?
That's a little strange.
So she said she ran downstairs, which I wouldn't do if no. I thought there was a gunman in the house or a gunwoman in the house.
Also, if she's upstairs, how do you hear the keys in the door?
It seemed like the house was, it wasn't a huge house. So, like,
oh, okay, because I thought they were well off.
So
I would assume it would be.
They were like a weird well off, and I'll describe it in a second. But so she heard the keys in the door. Though. Yeah. Why would you knock if you have the keys?
Because you're trying to alert someone that it's just you.
Just me.
Yeah.
Just me, little old David.
Is everything cool? I'm just coming in.
With my pie. I got just you one.
Coming back in.
So she ran downstairs and she met David at the door and told him everything. Now, interestingly enough, Patty said that David called his father before calling the police. And I'm also pretty sure that he didn't go up there because the investigators were like, well, where is she? And he was like, officer, can you please go look? I can't. So okay. You can't go aid your dying wife or like potentially dead wife?
Like you literally, none of you have any idea what is, if she is even hurt.
Right. Like she might be hiding up there for all you know.
She might be hiding. She might be in a really deep sleep. You just like, you have no idea. None of you have even seen her.
And Cinnamon is nowhere to be found.
She might not even be up there.
So who's to say that Cinnamon didn't like misfire the gun in Patty's room, go like in the trailer or somewhere and like shoot herself?
And who's to say even Cinnamon isn't up there?
Exactly.
None of you know.
None of you know where she is.
Yeah.
And you're all just chilling in the living room waiting for the police to get there when you have no idea what's going on.
No, none of that makes sense.
So the investigators got there. David tells the story. Patty tells her story. And they both seemed convinced that it was Cinnamon who pulled the trigger. But the only problem was, like I said, Cinnamon was nowhere to be found. And they're like, she's potentially dangerous. The gun was dropped in front of like the doorway, so she didn't have that gun, but like
you don't know what else she has.
And there were other guns in the house. None of them seemed to be missing, but they don't know. So the investigators are like looking around the house, they're taking pictures of the scene, bagging up evidence, and one investigator was rounding up all the dogs just to kind of get them out of the way. Yeah. There's something like four dogs in the house.
Whoa.
And one of them was a puppy that seemed like it belonged to Cinnamon. Aww. Because it was in the trailer by itself and it was just like pooping all around the trailer. So the investigator was like, well, there's shit everywhere, so let's get you out of here.
It was just like pooping around the trailer.
And I'm not saying like pooping around, like poop, poop, doop. Like he was like literally sharting everywhere. So
that's the way you said it.
He was just like pooping.
Yeah, like it was such an important part of the story.
Well, like it kind of is because the investigator like moves him to a pen.
Oh.
So while he's moving the little sharding dog to the pen, he notices like because there was like a garage and they were putting them behind there. And then there were some dog houses along the garage. So the back of the dog houses were like kind of, it's not attached to the garage, but like that's where they leaned up against it. Read the book. So it says everything. If You Really Loved Me by Ann Rule, plug. So he notices like the dog houses and he's like, oh, okay, cool. And then he notices that there's like a figure in one of the dog houses. So he leans down and he's like, okay, that's a person.
That is not a canine. That is a human.
Weird that there is a human.
I'm using my investigative skills to deduce that that is not a dog in there.
Human in a dog house?
Human.
Writes strange. Down question mark.
I'm going to write that in my report.
And then I'm going to investigate. And so he does. So
good for him.
Upon closer look, he realized that it was cinnamon, and she was laying in a pool of her own vomit, and she had peed herself. So she's laying in her own urine and vomit.
Oh.
And she's holding, like, literally, like, clenched in her fist is this note on, like, a piece of, I think they said it was pink cardboard, which I was like, maybe it was, like, stationery, and that's what
like
they meant.
Like a cardstock.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yes, yes, like cardstock.
And tied together with a ribbon, which is just fancy. Weird to me.
Yeah.
But okay. So they're like, hey, we got to take you down. We got to take you downtown, Cinny.
Some weird shit has gone down.
So. Also, David literally calls her Cinny, which like, Cinny, okay. Would be cute if he wasn't him. So they take her into custody and they read the note. And he said that he literally had to like unclench her fingers from around
boy.
It. And the note said, dear God, please forgive me. I didn't mean to hurt her.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it in like a scroll.
Yeah, yeah, she yeah. did. Hear ye, hear ye.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Dear oh, God.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thou est sorry. Yeah. So during her interview, Cinnamon went in and out of answering questions and just seemed to be like somewhere else in her mind. And Anne Rule points out in her book that at one point she murdered, or she, she
I was
murdered.
Like, what?
She whispered, please don't let them get away with murder. But
wow.
Like, I don't know because, so she says that. And the investigators were like, okay, like what? And they seemed to be surprised that this was this like little timid 14-year-old blonde yeah. girl sitting in front of them that fired a gun 3 times and shot and killed a woman.
Yeah.
And they're like, she's the mastermind behind this? Because like...
And is now laying in her own vomit and piss.
Yeah, like that's weird.
This is the hardened killer?
Yeah.
But just, okay.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to them, but they're like, but she confesses.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do?
After she says, please don't let them get away with murder.
Oh, that like, that hurts.
It really hurts because we'll see why it
yeah.
hurts. And she just told them because she did it because she thought Linda hated her and she didn't like Linda. And that was her reason.
I mean, those are not good reasons to murder someone.
No. So they were like, okay. Now, a few days later, they tried to talk to her again, and Cinnamon said that she didn't remember anything and didn't want to talk.
Eek.
Mm-hmm.
Eek.
So bad. Now, she was convicted of first-degree murder, and at first, she was sentenced to 27 years to life in prison, but because she was only 14 years old at the time of the shooting, they instead sent her to the California Youth Authority, and she was sentenced to serve there until she turned 25.
Okay.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. I love Fast Growing Trees because Drew and I love gardening and stuff like that, but we always forget to run our little errands on the weekend where we go to the nurseries and say, I'd like that tree over there, please. But instead, I can just sit my booty on the couch, type in fastgrowingtrees.com, and get whatever plant I want. I just recently ordered a lemon tree because, mama, when life gives you lemons, you can make lemonade and lots of delicious lemon-flavored desserts, which I'm excited about. And it's going to get to my door in 1 to 2 days, and then I'll have so many lemons. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code MORBID at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code MORBID at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code MORBID. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
So basically, I think it's like you get a little break because you're a young offender.
Yeah, it's a youth offender.
Exactly. So meanwhile, things were getting really weird with David and Patty.
You don't say.
Super duper weird.
Wow.
Weirder somehow. During Cinnamon's trial, David didn't come.
Oh.
Like, didn't show up to the trial. And after Cinnamon was sentenced and in prison, he really wasn't coming to visit her as much as he had told her he would. And he had also cashed in pretty quickly on this little thing called a life insurance policy.
Oh, that life insurance policy.
So cray cray that someone died and somebody cashed in on a life insurance policy.
You know, it's, I always love when we come up with a case that has something like so different and like,
I know,
something we've never seen before.
It's just such a niche moment.
I can't believe you found this.
It was hard.
A life insurance policy.
I had to look into it.
Yeah. Yeah. You had to find out what it was. You've never heard of it.
I was like, whoa, Joe.
Whoa, some people murder people over money?
Holy.
Huh. Whoa.
Now, this life insurance policy, and if you can't tell, that was feigned. Real feigned right there.
Sarcasm.
That was called acting. Little thing I like to call improv.
That was something called the theater.
Oh, I was going to say that in that accent.
Yeah.
You bitch. You bitch. You bitch. So, yeah, the life insurance policy was pretty close to $1 million.
That's a good chunk of change.
It was like a little over eight. Much. I don't know.
It was a little over eight much.
Many monies. It was almost a million. So he cashed in on that. He moved into a new house with Patty that he bought in cash.
Ooh.
Which he bought the house for like $300,000. And I guess it was like a really nice house with a swimming pool. And I was like, I wish.
We wish.
Imagine if real estate only costed that much.
Especially in Massachusetts.
Oh, honey. Oh, honey.
Everybody go look up real estate in Massachusetts.
I love my 900 square foot apartment forever. So he bought that in cash, which I was like, wow, I'd love to see the amount of money in cash.
That amount of shekels.
Shekels. And so he moves in with Patty and he also marries her secretly.
Okay.
And also has a baby with her.
Okay.
Secretly, which I'm like, those are a lot of secrets. Those I wonder if Patty's hair was
secrets.
So big.
Secrets are no fun.
Unless
secret
you
secrets
tell.
Hurt someone.
Oh, and then there's a version
What's that
says,
from, everybody?
The Office.
Yes.
I knew it. I don't like The Office. I can't wait for the amount of shit I'm going to get for that.
Honestly, give her shit for that because I give her shit for
I
that.
Like Parks and Rec.
She hasn't given it a chance.
It's like Zoolander.
She didn't give Zoolander a chance either.
I'd like to give that a second
you
chance.
You need to give that a chance.
I love the tangents we go on.
I love it too.
I love that somehow Zoolander worked its way into the cinnamon brown case.
It always will.
So yeah, they had a secret marriage and a secret baby. And I guess they were telling people that the baby was not David's.
Oh.
And I'm like, but you're living together in this nice house with a baby. Like, what do you think that looks like?
This is just someone's random baby that you just
and like
happened
David,
upon?
Like, he was saying the baby was from a different father.
No, I know, but it's like, what?
But it's like, but why is she with you then?
Yeah.
Like, clearly she had the baby while you were together. What?
It's just a strange situation.
It's a weird situation. And it also came back later on because at the scene, like, originally, they did... like they swabbed their hands for gunpowder, mm-hmm. like to
gunshot
see
gunshot residue.
Yes, thank you. And there was
GSR.
There was residue on Patty's hands.
Oh,
but at the time they somehow explained it away. But like the investigators always kind of held on to that. But they were like, "There's like that's all we have.
Yeah,
and we have somebody in jail for the murder. Like we can't really do anything with this right now."
Hmm.
But they always were like, "What?
I would always be thinking about that."
I thought you were gonna say I would always be like. What?
I would always be like, what?
What?
I would about that.
So by 1988, word got back to Cinnamon, like rotting in jail, that her father and Patty were married and like living this high, lavish lifestyle, cashing in on all these great banks. So, you know.
You know, cashing in on banks.
You can do that.
That's what people with money say.
Yeah.
Cashing in on banks.
Laughing straight to the bank. And do you remember that song?
I don't.
I didn't think you would. The investigators had also been visiting Cinnamon over the years and like hoping to get more answers because like I said, this was like a real head scratcher for them. They did not understand this at all. But she didn't want to talk about it. She was like, nope, like I don't have anything to say.
Like, come on, man.
But she was a model prisoner. She had a job in jail. She kept busy doing like crafts. I'm pretty sure she did like needlepoint and shit.
Damn.
And she just kept to herself mostly. And they're like, this girl is like, this is not the girl that was described to us, like this troublemaker who couldn't get along, had a problem with authority figures, like
so much so that they had to make her live in a trailer off of their
and so much so house. That she like snapped and like got really angry and shot her stepmom, like
yeah, that little thing.
It yeah, you know how that happens. It just they were like, no, like it doesn't make
it doesn't
sense
add up.
At all, like this is just not in her psyche. So she underwent therapy while she was in jail, and she seemed to be growing and maturing into like a stronger person mentally, and people could kind of tell that there was going to be like some kind of shift soon.
Ooh.
Yeah, which, you know, she seemed very different than she did when she first got there, covered in her own pee and urine, and that's pee the same urine. Thing, and vomit. Pee and vomit. I meant to say pee and vomit. But there was no evidence that she was suffering from any kind of mental illness, mm-hmm. and Patty and David had described that initially to the investigators, because Patty told them that Cinnamon had more imaginary friends than she did real friends, and she said she would just, like, talk to people out loud, named Aunt Bertha, Oscar, and Maynard.
And Maynard?
Which is a place I used to live.
A town in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I literally lived there.
Wow.
But they were like, that's weird that she's never talked to any of those imaginary friends ever since she got to jail. Because, like,
yeah.
Jail's pretty lonely. Might be a good time to talk to those imaginary friends.
And did she have an imaginary friend, like, when she was younger? Or they're saying it was, like, when she was 14?
Oh, no. They're saying, like, when she was, like, chilling around the house not talking to them, she was talking to Oscar, Aunt Bertha, and Maynard.
Because I had an imaginary friend named Naughty Martha.
That's iconic.
When I was little.
That is iconic.
And I just blamed everything on Naughty Martha.
Because you were Naughty Elena.
Ma will tell you.
I've heard that story before.
I would just be like, Naughty Martha did that. And Ma was always like, I couldn't even get mad because it was so funny.
That's hilarious.
Like, she was like, I would just laugh.
We love a smart little shit. My imaginary friend was Luke Skywalker.
Yep, it sure was. Can confirm.
Cool. Can confirm. And one day I was like, you know how, like, when you're little, you'll, like, shower with your mom sometimes. So yeah. She can, like, wash your hair and also wash hers.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Mom, like, can you also wash Luke Skywalker's hair? And she was like, I'm sorry, what? Like, there's a man's in here?
There's who in the shower?
There's no man's around here.
I love it.
Yeah, so that's a little bit about us.
A little insight into our childhood.
But they pointed out that, you know, she talked to these people, and then the investigators are like, well, why doesn't she talk to them here? And I think that's what they initially thought when she was sitting in the investigation room being like, I don't let them get away with murder. I think they thought she was talking about her imaginary friends.
So she was, like, disassociating and being like, That makes sense.
It does. It makes perfect sense. But she was really saying, like, dear God, probably, like, don't let Patty in.
Because she was probably saying, I'm taking the rap for this, but please don't let them get away with it. Like, sure, I'll take the rap right now, but, like, they need to get it too.
Yeah, like, in the long run.
Like, at some point.
Now, they also pointed out, Patty and David, to the investigators, that Cinnamon had a much older boyfriend, and he went by Steely Dan. You know my boyfriend, such a hottie, Steely Dan.
You know my boyfriend, Motley Crue.
You know my boyfriend, Steely Steely.
You know my boyfriend, Poison.
You know my boyfriend, Duran. Like, what? So Cinnamon's friends were like, no, she doesn't have a boyfriend. I guess there was a kid who went by Steely Dan in That's the area, amazing. And he was like a troublemaker, but they looked into it. Nothing happened from that. They were like, yeah,
Steely
they're not
Dan
connected.
Didn't do it.
No, Cinnamon's, like, she had a couple friends, and they told the police that Cinnamon was grounded all the time, and that was the reason she didn't have a lot of friends, because Patty and David were trying to make it seem like she didn't have real friends because she had so many imaginary ones.
Yeah, because she was, like, having a moment.
But they were like, no, she was grounded all the time. That's why she didn't have friends. And they said it was partially that, but also because her father encouraged her not to make friends and would, like, flip out about every little thing that she did. So she just didn't really have the time to make friends.
You hear about these things with, like, parents encouraging their kid, like, these people that, like, isolate their children from having friends, and I'm like...
It's like, why did you have kids?
Why?
That's I want my kids to have so many friends someday.
Like, this pandemic has been one of the hardest things on the girls have been all they want to do is go see their friends or make new friends.
And watching kids make friends with each other...
The most precious thing.
The purest thing you'll ever see in your life. Like, the girls will, like, see someone at the park and want to play with them, and obviously right now it's difficult, but, like, if they have masks on, we'll be like, oh yeah, like, scoot around,
say hi to them. Yeah,
and, like, they get so happy, and they're like, my new friend named, like, blah blah blah.
Oh,
like,
they'll talk about their new friend for days,
literally. Like,
so
I'm still hearing about one.
These parents who, like, isolate their children from that.
No,
it's so weird.
It's weird. Like, why did you have a kid?
It's, like, so evil.
It is. So once Cinnamon found out about Patty and her dad getting married, she was like, let me talk to those investigators that have been visiting me, because I have something to say now.
I got something to say.
Now, the DA at the time was named Jay Newell, and he had been very interested in the case, like, very invested. And he was the main person who was like, none of this makes sense. This girl did not do this on her own. Like, I need to know more. Now, Cinnamon told them that David had been telling her and Patty for years. Now, this is when it all comes crashing down. that Linda was conspiring against him with her twin brother. And he said there was, like, he told them all these stories about Linda and her twin brother's mob ties and how they were working in a plot to kill him so they could take all his money. Because, like I said, he did have a lot of money.
Yikes.
And he had both the girls so brainwashed because, obviously, Cinnamon loved her father. And at the time, this was the man who Patty kind of felt like rescued her. She probably felt like she owed him.
I mean, she thought he was like a god.
Yeah. So he's completely brainwashing them. And like I said, Patty had been groomed for years. So it's like she was kind of jealous of Linda because she sees her being in the way of this Prince Charming that she wants to marry.
Of course.
So she loved her sister, but I'm sure to some degree she saw her as a threat.
Oh, for sure.
So there's that. And then Cinnamon said that this was something, like I said, they talked about for years and that David told them that they would have to carry it out, the murder, because he didn't have the stomach for it.
Oh my God.
They needed to get rid of Linda for him.
Well, remember, he's so sensitive.
The most sensitive man.
Such a delicate constitution, that man.
Oh, yes. So the three of them together decided that Cinnamon should be the one to pull the trigger because she was the youngest, and they had her fully convinced that because she was so much younger, she wouldn't be prosecuted as hard.
Oh my God.
Now, meanwhile, Patty and her are like in high school together. I think Patty was like 17 when this happened. So that's cool. David said that they would make up some kind of psychological issues, like they did, and that the worst that would happen is that Cinnamon would have to go to a psychiatrist for a while, and then she would come back home, and they would all live this happy life together.
After we murdered the mother.
After we murdered, yeah, the mom. And it's like...
Or the, like, stepmom.
Stepmom. And the sister. Yeah. And it's like, that's what exactly what I opened up with. She said, I thought that I would do this, and then I thought I would come home.
Wow.
I mean, she's 14. She doesn't understand the legal system. And that
has obviously been brainwashed in a big way.
And that's her father.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Like her father that she loves, she thinks he's in danger. She thinks she's protecting him.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. Guys, I am obsessed with Astapro and you should be too, because seasonal allergies are a freaking bummer. They make me feel like crud. They make me sneeze. They make my boogies all yucca, and it's just really kind of gross. But Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter OTC allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Have you tried Astapro, Elena? Because I'm obsessed.
I have, and it's so fast!
It's so fast! Astapro, it's faster, bro. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. It's faster, bro. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
I mean, yeah, because, like, who among us, if you love your father, you would do anything for your parents if you love them, you know what I mean?
Right, if you're being brainwashed.
And if they're telling you that they're in mortal danger, and that the only way that this, like, when you're that young, especially.
Right. So they were coming up with ways to kill Linda for, like, over a year.
She's just living in that house with them.
Living in the house with them.
No idea.
Cinnamon suggested at one point, like, throwing like something electrical into the bathtub. And then she was like, oh, Linda only takes showers.
Oh my God.
But like trying to like impress her dad.
Yeah, being like, look at this good idea I came up with.
Exactly. And like they both would come up with ways, like her and Patty together.
Oh my God.
And then he would have them, because the whole thing was that afterwards, Cinnamon was gonna like pretend like she tried to commit suicide so that it looked like she was doing a murder-suicide.
Yeah.
It just, like, makes it look better, I guess, to them. And they would write these fake suicide notes and give them to David and be like, is this one okay? Is this one okay? And he would burn them or flush them down the toilet. And then one time, I believe it was Patty, walked in on Linda on the phone at one point. And when Patty walked into the room, Linda kind of stopped talking. And she was like, oh my God, she must be plotting the murder, like, right now. But meanwhile, she was probably like, I think my fucking sister and my husband are in a relationship together.
What the hell?
Yeah. So, oh my God. He had them fully convinced and also, like, fully paranoid.
Of course. Like, he's talking about mob ties.
So here. Then you think of it, actually, and you think maybe Cinnamon did develop this attitude, and she did, and Linda did say, like, go fucking live in the trailer. Like,
yeah.
Don't live in my house and give me attitude.
It makes sense.
So on the night of March 18th, he woke Cinnamon and Patty up and told them tonight was the night. He said, Linda needs to die tonight. Like, it needs to get done.
Oh, my God.
So he leaves the house, like I said, goes to the convenience store, goes in multiple times, make sure he has an alibi.
Make sure he acts real kooky.
He maybe went to the beach. I don't know. It seems like perhaps. He also stopped at a Denny's to use their bathroom, like he originally said. But it was probably just to make the alibi even more solid.
Of course.
And he said he was like, I think he said he saw like a redheaded waitress and like she saw him. So they're like, there he's like, go talk to that redheaded waitress and she'll tell say, you. I was there. It reminds me of the Melagnato.
I was thinking that. I was trying to remember his name.
He goes to the chili place.
Yeah.
So he was like, yep, I was there. And then when he came home, obviously he knows Linda's dead, which is why he doesn't go upstairs to check of that she's not. Dead.
And that's why he does the knock knock first.
That's why he does the knock knock. It's me. And then he mixed up a cocktail of prescription drugs for Cinnamon to take, and she like went outside to take them.
And that's why she was like peeing on herself and vomiting.
Right. And so she refused to shoot herself, because originally the plan was she was going to shoot herself. Like, I don't know if they told her, like, do it here so that it's not fatal.
Oh my God.
But she was like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
So they did that instead. No, me either. But the mix of drugs they found out later was a lethal dose. So he probably intended on killing Cinnamon too, so that he could run away with Patty and not have to worry about Cinnamon.
Wow.
So he probably, I'm going on the record here saying he fully intended to not only get his wife killed by his daughter, but then kill his daughter.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So, and in the original investigation, when they were, like, taking pictures and bagging up evidence, it seems like there was, like, a laundry room or, like, a mud room in the back of the house. And on the wash machine, there was 3 pill bottles. And the investigator was like, what the fuck? So then I think when they saw Cinnamon in that state, they just assumed, like, she took them there.
Yeah.
But, and they found, like, a ton of prescription medicine in the house because David was, like, really sickly.
They definitely... Unquote. I think he definitely intended on killing her, because there really was no good reason to do, like, a suicide attempt.
No.
Or even, like, something, you know, it doesn't really...
It would just add, like, drama to
it. Yeah, it doesn't
But really I think he you. Was just trying to get rid of...
I think he was just trying to kill her.
2 birds with
and
one
And he convinced
stone.
Her that it would be better if she pretended to kill herself.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. What an evil son of a bitch.
Because so luckily she threw up, because if she didn't, they were like if she didn't throw up, she was dead.
Yeah.
And they found like all the different prescription drugs in the throw up.
Yeah.
Because they saw the guy who found her saw like the capsules. Ooh. And was like, oh, like clearly that went down.
Yeah.
So they decided that it would be best to have Cinnamon try to get her dad to say something. They were like, let's get him to visit you in jail. Let's wire you up. So they did. And they're like, do your best to get him to say something. So Cinnamon told her dad that he needed to tell the cops what really happened, or she needed to, because she wasn't doing well in jail. And he basically told her, and they have this like, she's wired. He said, you can't tell them the quote whole truth because I'm sick and I can't go to jail. Oh, and he told her, I'll kill myself before I die in a jail cell. And if you do tell the truth, quote, we would all end up in prison.
What the fuck?
So he literally sailed his fucking ship down the river.
That is hilarious.
He's like, nope, you can't tell the whole truth.
I love that she didn't have to do any work there. He was just like, blah, 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 blah.
She was like, I'm getting ready to tell the truth. And he was like,
no.
No, you can't, because we'll all go to jail because we're all involved and you can't tell the whole truth. And they're like, hey, David.
Hey.
Do you want to talk to us? Like, what's up?
Let's have a little chat.
It's like Nicki Minaj at the VMAs. She's like, what's up, Miley? What's good, Miley?
What's good?
What's good, David?
What's good, David? Sit down.
Yeah, sit down. So they bring in David. And Patty. They arrest them pretty much immediately.
Yeah.
And Patty was placed in the same facility as Cinnamon because she, remember, is still very young.
Oh, my God.
Yikes. Now, yikes. David, while in jail, tried to convince the investigators that he had no role in this, It was Patty and Cinnamon. They were conspiring against Linda because they didn't like her. They wanted to do away with her, which is like, oh, okay.
But you stayed with Patty.
Thank you. I was like, let's consider that for a moment.
Yeah.
Then you married Patty still?
Makes sense.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool, cool, cool. So it makes total sense. He poor also...
Crystal. Huh? Poor Crystal.
I know. And we'll talk about Crystal at the end.
I mean, probably
worry.
For better. Yeah. But they're all gone, but...
Well, so he also, this is just wild. He made the mistake of trying to organize a hit on Jay Newell, the one who was like the investigator who was helping Cinnamon. Like,
Jesus.
He was like, I want him like done. And he tried to carry out a hit on Patty too. What? So he wanted two of them. Now he offered a fellow inmate almost $23,000 for the hit and told him, quote, I make things happen for people. That's how I got ahead.
Wow.
Like,
and then he's like, I had nothing to do with
dude,
that.
You were like set up for life. You're working with the fucking Pentagon and then you like organize this crazy crime. Like, you, why?
Yeah.
Why? Like, get divorced.
I was going to say divorce.
You did it once.
Everybody.
And I guess Cinnamon like suggested that originally. It was like, well, why can't you just divorce her?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, she'll come after all my money and I'll lose everything.
And it's like, yeah, divorce sucks, but it sucks a whole lot less than murder and going to jail forever.
Well, you know what? Like, prenup. Like, make her sign a prenup and then you won't lose everything.
Yeah.
And like, who knows? He probably did. He probably, like, he just wanted her dead.
Yeah.
So he was like, I make things happen for people. That's how I get ahead. But the inmate that he tried to organize the hit with told the authorities.
Of course.
Obviously. Now, he also told another inmate, or he thought it was an inmate, that she should go forward after Patty testified and say like, I was in jail with Patty and she told me she lied about her whole testimony. So he's like, if you do this for me, like, I'll help you out somehow. Yeah, that wasn't an inmate. That was an undercover cop.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah, so
amazing.
Like,
amazing.
And she's wired. So like, now we have that.
And she's like, you're a fucking idiot.
Thanks for that. Now, Cinnamon and Patty were able to make amends while they were incarcerated. I don't really know. Cinnamon's a much bigger person than I am.
I was going to say, damn.
But I think she was like, you're brainwashed. Like, I was too.
Yeah, I think she knows that they were.
I grew. You should try
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So
you should try
you it. Should, you should give this a go. So, and they both agreed to testify against David at his trial. Now, Patty told the jury all about their relationship, how it started, and that alone obviously painted a very different picture than
yeah,
they...
he's a pedophile.
Literally.
So right off the bat, you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, good, good.
So we're working with here.
Now, Cinnamon agreed also to testify, and she told the jury how they had been brainwashed by David and how he continuously told them, and this is where the title of the book comes from, if they loved him, they would do this for him.
Wow.
He would always say to them, if you love me, you'll do this.
The most emotional manipulation.
Like, on your daughter and that's this, so like, fucked. Other 17-year-old girl? Okay. Ugh. So the jury, they had so much from the wiretapping, from Cinnamon, from the jailhouse stuff, from him trying to say shit in jail, like, not thinking he was recorded, that the jury heard days of incriminating statements just made by him.
Damn.
Like, caught on tape.
Wow.
I think it was something like 3 days that they
wow.
had. Yeah. So they took a very short 7-hour deliberation period. And when they came back, he was sentenced to life without
yes.
the possibility of parole.
Bye, David.
The judge compared him to Charles Manson. Which,
and honestly.
Literally.
He's a cult leader.
He
like,
is.
He's got the same kind of vibe. It's like.
Yeah.
That's
you pray
Charles
on
Manson
innocent...
preyed on young, impressionable youths
exactly.
to do his bidding, and
yep.
that's exactly what David did.
He was like, you are like Charles Manson. He said, you're a very scary man, and you were lucky that the death penalty wasn't on the table.
Yeah,
because the judge was like, I would for sure kill you.
I would for sure kill you.
Or let the lethal injection do it, you know.
The judge is like, I would do it myself if it was on the table.
Imagine if you could say that.
That'd be crazy.
Now, Cinnamon was released shortly after, and so was Patty. But by that time, Cinnamon was... 21 or something
wow.
like that. It was crazy. No, she wasn't 21. She was 18. Sorry. I think Patty was 21 when she was released. Now, Cinnamon went on to get married, and she married a man who unfortunately passed away after
oh.
they were married for like 20 years. He committed suicide.
Oh.
Which was really sad.
That's so sad.
But she later remarried, and by all accounts, she's living like a quiet, happy life.
Oh, good.
Crystal, Linda and David's daughter, and Patty were able to reconnect. And Crystal said that she not only forgives Patty, but also forgives Cinnamon for her mom's murder. And she knows that they were brainwashed.
Wow.
Which is nuts. I couldn't find anything about the daughter or the son, I'm not sure what they had, that David and Patty had together.
Say, yeah.
At one point, the baby was being taken care of by, like, one of Patty's siblings, I believe. And Crystal had been taking care of David's parents. Like, they got custody. So I couldn't find anything, though, about that child. Like, if maybe Patty got the child back.
Just doesn't want to be associated with this anymore.
Yeah, probably not. And but Crystal actually runs a Facebook page. I don't know if it's still up, but it was in some of the things that I was looking at, like in her mom's memory.
Aww.
And like posts old pictures and stuff. And she had posted when her and Patty got together.
Wow.
It doesn't seem like her and Cinnamon got together, but I don't know if they've talked and like figured it out.
Yeah.
So that's good. I mean, at least there's like resolve there.
Yeah.
Now, David told the investigators that Cinnamon and Patty were both very dangerous girls who would most likely kill again if they were released.
No.
Which is weird.
I don't believe that at all.
Because they didn't.
Because they have not.
No. Fortunately, his crusty old ass died in prison, in a prison hospital, on March 20th, 2014, of natural causes at 61 years old.
Wow. He was in rough shape.
Yeah, I think he was having too many Dr. Pies.
Dr. Pies.
Yeah, you know, that's the combo. Too many Dr. Pies. So there's like a Lifetime miniseries about this, I guess. I didn't watch it because I couldn't find it. But it's called Love, Lies, and Murder.
I just saw like the little movie poster for that.
Yeah, I guess it's like a miniseries.
Yeah.
Cynthia Nixon is in it.
Oh, wow.
Which I don't even know who she plays or anything.
Cynthia, who do you play?
I love her. There's also Cinnamon appears herself in like this true crime documentary. It's called The Investigators, A Daughter's Love.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I couldn't find that anywhere either. So if you can find it, let me know. It'd be cool to watch.
Yeah.
And then totally read the fucking book. It's so good. You can get it for free on the Kindle Cloud Reader from Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
If You Really Loved Me by Ann Rule.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So crazy.
That's a crazy case.
Could you imagine if your dad tried to, like, make you commit murder and then, like, was like, okay, have fun in jail, sweetie.
Like, bye.
Bye-bye.
See you soon.
I'm going to go cash in on that life policy.
You'll come out and everything will be fine. We'll pretend it never happened.
Yeah, because that's what she thought was going to happen. We opened it up and she said, I thought I was going to go to a psychiatrist and I thought I was going to come home.
Yeah. That's, wow.
Isn't that so fooked?
That's unreal.
So fooked.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon Brown.
Also, the name Cinnamon.
I wonder if they named her Cinnamon because the last name was Brown.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother box to open up.
Her mom's name was Brenda.
Yeah, not the same.
And well, I assume she was also pretty young because like David was like, what, 23 when he married Linda and already had Cinnamon.
Yeah.
So, you know, young decisions.
Yeah, that's a decision.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I'll just put it at that.
So, yeah, you can see pictures of this and you can also buy tickets to the cool live show on Monday.
Woo!
Go look at our Instagram.
At Morbid Podcast.
Hit us up on Twitter.
At A Morbid Podcast.
Send us a Gmail, baby.
MorbidPodcast@gmail.com.
And as always, you can shop our merch at shop.morbidpodcast.com.
Woo!
We hope you keep listening.
And we hope you
keep
it weird.
But that's a way that you convince your daughter to commit murder and like the other like dime piece that you have, because that's not really fair to convince anybody to commit murder and then go live your life. They were both really pretty.
The dime piece.
The dime piece that you have.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like Morbid, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey. Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run dark. In this new crime thriller, religion and crime collide when this small Montana community is rocked by a gruesome murder. As the town is whipped into a frenzy, everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager. But local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Lauro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. She and Ruth form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone's watching Ruth. with an all-star cast led by Emmy Award nominee Sana Leighton and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook plunges listeners into the dark underbelly of a small town where the lines between truth and deception are blurred, and even the most devout are not who they seem. Chinook is available to listen to now exclusively with your Wondery Plus subscription. You can subscribe to Wondery Plus on the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.